It is Morning Disaster on a Thursday. How in the hell are you? You guys doing okay? What's the day today? The February 16th, 2017. How we doing? We okay? I don't want to be here. I'd rather be sleeping. Of course, that's pretty much my default mood, no matter where I am. But yeah, for some reason, man, I was really tired. Usually I'm up and at it and blah, blah. I'm tired today. I don't think I'm getting sick or anything, but man, you just, I didn't want to get out of bed. Just did not want to get out of bed. It was crazy. But I am up and I'm here today and it's, and it won't be long before I'm just feeling, woo, you know, before I'm bouncing off the walls. But right now, I'm a little drag. So please forgive me or help me wake up. Phone number is 814-0332. That's the number I thought Nikki would be calling. But, yeah, I don't know what the hell she's doing. She said she's definitely going to try to make it today. I wonder what's going on. Oh, my. Yeah, so I don't know what's happening. I do have Al is listening in his truck. And he was enjoying the Bruno Mars so much. He was bouncing off the walls of his truck and kissing himself because he's so pretty. Mm. Kiss myself. Too pretty. Damn it. Mm. Mm. Damn it. So he was going to town on himself. I'm not sure. I think he started masturbating. Don't quote me on that. But he might have been so inspired that he masturbated in the truck. You know, I wonder if he ever has masturbated in the truck. And that's not a question you normally ask people, but now I wonder. I wonder if, because if you were a guy, I'll explain Al's situation. He is a garbage man, but he has customers who are in the country, you know? He goes from like town to town or person to person on these people that live on these country roads and stuff. I believe that's how it works. So he might do little towns, you know, but it's not like he's a garbage man in like a Springfield or Decatur or anything where they're just going house to house. He'll do that in these small towns and then he'll head out and, you know, take country roads. So he's driving alone on those country roads sometimes. I wonder if he's ever just gotten the urge and pulled out the old hog and gave it treated himself poorly. Punished himself. Oh, you bad boy, Al. Oh. I wonder if there was ever a time where he's like, I'm just so horny working here all this garbage. I'm so horny working here by all this garbage. I just have to masturbate. And he pulled it out and started masturbating. I wonder if that's ever happened while driving the truck. That's the question I will have to ask him. I know he's listening, so maybe when the delay hits him, he will answer that. Of course, he might not. He might keep that to himself, but, But I would be interested in that question to see if he ever has masturbated while in the truck. Al says the biggest town he's got is only 350 people. So, yeah, he goes, like I said, he does these country roads, and he goes house to house in the country roads, and he does the small town. So he's got a town that's got like 350 people in it. He'll do all that, and then he'll, head back out and get a bunch of – and he's got
I believe it's just individuals, but I don't know. Maybe he's, I imagine maybe there's a business too. I don't know. But anyway, that's how he rolls in that garbage truck. And I wonder, I don't know, maybe he finds a, maybe he finds something in the garbage that turns him on. You know, maybe there's something in the garbage that, you know, gets his juices flowing and knob growing. Could happen. Is there ever something that you see where your mind starts working and you just feel the need to do that? Hello, you're on the Morning Disaster.
Hello, Ray, it's Al.
Hi, Al.
I've never masturbated in my truck.
Have you ever gotten horny while being a garbage man?
I've had sex in my truck.
You've had sex?
Yeah.
How did you, not on the garbage route, or?
Well, yeah, I mean, I pulled off in the country, you know, and
gave somebody a good, who'd you give, was it your wife?
It was my wife.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it wasn't, yeah, it wasn't like some dirty, you know, corn hooker or something like that.
Well, why do you assume they'd be dirty? Maybe a corn hooker's clean.
Well, okay, well, a clean corn hooker. It wasn't a hooker. It was my wife.
And
before
she was,
we were married.
Oh, so she was your girlfriend and she came with you on one of your garbage runs?
Yeah. I met my wife on my, she was a customer on my garbage route.
Is that real?
Yeah, that's for real.
You said that before. I just thought you were joking.
No, no. That's when I was working for another company and I worked actually in town.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, she kept checking me out because, you know, compared to those other garbage men that got the big beer bellies and everything, I look pretty decent.
Yeah, you're in shape. And
right. And so we got to talking. I was kind of going through a divorce. And after my divorce was final, I took her out on a date. She asked me what I did. I told her, and she said she wanted to ride with me one day, and so I once I got this job where I'm doing the country,
yeah.
I took her with me, and she said it actually made her horny, all the bouncing and everything.
Yeah, and also, I mean, to see you when you're doing the run, I mean, that's when you're grabbing the cans and your muscles are popping. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's probably getting fired up. She's probably looking at you going, oh, like a piece of meat.
Yeah.
The way these women look at us, Al, like we're pieces of meat.
I know.
I know for me, it's very troubling when they do that to me. Go ahead.
The one thing I'm happy about is that she still does that with me.
Oh, she still looks at you like a piece of meat?
Oh, she walked by the other day. I was fixing her dinner for Valentine's Day, and she just walked by and smacked me on the ass.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, most people might have got offended. I was the happiest I've ever been, I think.
No, my wife is repulsed by me. I'm convinced that I have successfully repulsed her. So, yeah. Oh, well.
But well, Ray, buddy, I'm getting ready to hit these hollows down here, and
well, listen, I'm glad you've never masturbated in your car. I'm glad you've had sex though in your garbage truck, and
yeah,
I'll let you go. I'll let you go do your job. I appreciate it, partner.
Hey, no problem.
Later,
see you, buddy.
The one and only Al, everyone, who has had sex in his garbage can with his wife, got her all fired up. Pulled off a country road and dropped a big load, I guess. I'll be damned. I will be damned. Well, good for him. Good for him. It's a good story. All right, yesterday we had Sarah Jane on. By the way, did you guys listen to that? I really hope you did, because that was the craziest damn thing if you went to the replay, that's the craziest. That interview I just don't even know the word. It's just crazy. Dating Jimmy and banging his friends and good Lord. It's every time that girl's on, every time she is on the show, I'm just amazed. I've led such a sheltered life. I really feel that way. But no, she's fine. That's just who she is. But a lot of people listen to that, including P Double, who sent me. I haven't talked. P Double has not sent us a message since October. The end of October. And he sent me a message. Sarah Jane has made him send another mention, another letter. He says, I think you can make money off that last Sarah Jane interview.
Oh, all right.
He goes, get online dating sites to pay to have Sarah Jane tell listeners she uses competitor sites to pick up men and infect them with herpes. Anyone who is thinking about getting a one-night stand online just thought twice about that interview. Yeah. I think that was my goal. I think that was definitely my goal, was to make people think twice about their careless sex on the internet. Yeah, that interview. Thank you, P Double. That interview how do you not? How do you not listen to a Sarah Jane interview and just go, why? Every time I'm astounded by what she says. I really am just astounded. But I do enjoy Sarah Jane, and I love getting updates on her life. So when she contacted me, I was more than happy to talk to her, and I love that interview. She always ends up revealing more than she thought she was going to reveal, I think. But I do love the interview. And I've now been talking to Sarah Jane, and I thought about this. I've now been talking to Sarah Jane for about 10 years. I think I started talking to her in 2007 when we were doing Disaster Radio. I think that's when it actually started. But good old Sarah Jane. She was fantastic. She was fantastic. And by the way, there's no doubt in my mind that next time I talk to her, that I will once again be shocked. Because she never fails to shock me whenever she's on the show. It's morningdisaster.net. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Mr. Pickett.
What's going on?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
The one and only Davey Pickett. Or are you John Pickett? What are you?
What's that?
Are you John Pickett or Davey Pickett? Well, who are you now?
Well, my full name's John David.
Yeah, I know, but you, everybody called you David.
Right, right.
Or Dave. Now, are you are you wanting them to call you John now?
No, you know, it's... I always, like, have my name on the face always, like, John David, just because when I do, like, theater stuff or... work, and everybody refers to me as John just because it's frustrating to have to explain it every time. So now I'm like, you know what? Just throw it all out there. Call me what you want.
So you actually, when you got into doing theater, and you did, you went into theater a few years ago, and then you ended up getting really into it.
Yeah.
But when you went into theater, you said, oh, well, I'm John Pickett.
Right.
And my guess is that you did that because you, I don't think that you thought it was going to get as big as it is. Or that you'd be so.
Well, pretty much, yeah. My first show, I was like, yeah, this will be, I'll just do this show.
Yeah. And then that's it.
So I didn't really expect it to get me go any farther. And I ended up doing like, in 2 years, I ended up doing like 6 shows.
Yeah. It's addictive, that stuff.
It is.
That's why I don't do it. No, but, you know, you get into that lifestyle, and you're just like, I mean, it's weird because you work for free, but, I mean, it's, I can understand that because, you know, I do it, I basically do internet radio for free.
Right.
But when you get into it, it consumes you, and that's what happens with theater, you know? So I can see that spreading. Okay, so I'm glad you called. I want to catch up with you because I was doing some Chubby Ray and Breaking Curfew classics a couple weekends ago, all right? And you were such a big part. I mean, you really were a big part of those shows.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then you stopped. I don't know what happened. You stopped calling. You didn't feel like broadcasting anymore. You were in the theater. In the theater. But no, the last time that you were on the show, you moved. You moved out to L.A., and that's when you did some shows from L.A., but then you eventually had to stop being on the show with us. And you ended up getting married. Now, yeah. I know with that marriage that you got married, and then that ended fairly quickly, right?
Yeah, it was less than a year.
Yeah, and so do you even consider that one a marriage when it's that short?
I only do because it was a thing, but I mean, when I look back on my life, it's not one I'm like, oh, of course I was married. You know, it was definitely more of a lapse in judgment for a small time than anything else.
You don't even feel like you were married, right?
Right.
And so, you found out stuff about that girl, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. The whole thing's just a mess.
Yeah. You moved back here from L.A., and she came with you, and then she hated it out here, right?
Oh, just despised it, yeah. And the kicker was, it was her idea to move here.
Yeah. But then she hated it.
Right.
Because it's just so different.
Right.
And then she wanted you to go back to L.A.,
yeah, well, which wasn't happening. We couldn't. More importantly, we just couldn't afford it.
Well, yeah, but also you're like, no, I'm comfortable here.
Right.
I came back home. You're the dumb shit that wanted to move across. You know.
Right.
Was that the biggest reason for the divorce, or?
You know, pretty much. You know, she was ready to move on.
Really? So she just decided. How does she up it? Did you live together longer, or were married longer?
We lived together longer.
Yeah. That's bizarre.
You know, we lived together for, you know, about a year before we got married.
Right.
And then we moved to Springfield. And, you know, so we were together for, probably about 6 months after that. And she left just after Christmas time.
Did you know she was leaving? Or did she just?
Yeah, No, we were fighting and stuff. So I mean, that's pretty much led to
it. What was so different about being married as compared to living together? And I'm asking this because I mean, I know there are people listening who are thinking of whatever, but you know, maybe just as a life lesson.
Honestly, the biggest difference between just living together and being married is legality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really.
But you guys got along when you lived together. What the hell happened when you were married that, you know?
Well, it wasn't the marriage. Actually, I would attribute it at best to the move itself.
Okay. Well, I do remember when you were on one of the shows, and I don't know if you were joking or if you were being honest, but on one of those shows, and I don't know if it was Breaking Curfew or Chubby Ray. I don't know, because they do kind of run together in my head. But you got married, and we were joking. We said, oh, so did you consummate the marriage? And you go, no, we were tired. which I can understand. A lot of people, after they get married, they don't talk. But then you went on your honeymoon. And so we called and we were joking like, oh, you're probably getting it all the time. And you're like, well, we've been too tired while traveling. And we haven't yet. So it was like, I remember that it was like days after your marriage and she still wouldn't even have sex.
I mean, we had done that. Well, we had done that prior to the
well, yeah,
the
I know when you were living together, you did it all the time. But that's what I'm saying. What changed except the fact that you guys were married?
Nothing. And that just said, our honeymoon, eventually, sure, it happened.
Yeah.
After that, you know, it just became a lack of interest on both parties.
So you fell out of love with her.
I believe that. Yeah. Yeah.
After
I think with the whole thing, I just moved too soon. The whole thing was just a quick situation. And I should have taken my time with that situation altogether.
Well, I thought that, but I mean, I think we got the chance to talk to her once, and I was like, oh, this is a poisonous person. Or venomous person. What is he doing with her? Because you've always been smiley and nice. And I mean, one of the things about Pickett is you're an inherently nice person, you know?
Sure.
With all the stuff we've done on the air and you know, the role that you played and the stuff when you've called the show, one thing for sure is you're just a nice person. And that first wife, it just didn't seem like she was, you know. I don't know.
Oh, no, yeah, you're very accurate with that.
I mean, I'm not trying to insult her, but she just didn't seem like a nice person. Sorry, so that one breaks up. You get rid of it. Okay.
Right.
So then you move, you're here full time and you're doing stuff. And the reason I'm asking is on your Facebook page, and because I have so many friends, I don't get a chance to see a lot of your stuff, which sucks because I do consider you a really good friend and I like you. And I know you were on the TAX show a few times and
yeah.
Okay, so then you got married again.
Right.
Not long after the first one broke up, right?
Yeah. So my ex left. Okay, my first wife left me. She moved out right around January.
Okay.
And then not too long after that. To imagine the last couple months of my while she was living there, we weren't necessarily happy, so we weren't even getting along at that point.
Right.
You
were ready for her to leave. You were ready for her to leave when she left.
Oh, though. God, yeah, I was. Hell yes, I was. So she left, within a month or so, I'd already met somebody and started dating them.
Right.
And that was my last wife, my second wife. So we met.
Oh, she's not your current one.
No, she's
yeah, because
not.
It looks like a different girl that you're with, and you're that's why I'm at. All right. Okay, so you met this other girl.
I met her, and we dated for a year. Decided to get married. I get engaged.
Yeah.
So we get engaged after a year, and then it was like, you know what? Let's we plan this wedding situation, and then we're trying to get everything figured out. And it just so happened at the time I was in a job shift. I was quitting one job and starting a new one, but I had a month like vacation time. So I was like, I got a month away from work right now.
Yeah.
We could get married this week, go on a honeymoon, and not to miss any time away from work.
Right.
So we did it. We're like, what the hell? You know, why not?
Yeah.
So we were married for 5 years. 5 years.
There were kids in that one. Yeah, you had kids. Okay.
Yeah, got two kids. And so one of them is here right now, and the other one's at school.
Okay.
We got married. Life seemed to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Up until last March. Last March, I was on a trip. As you know, I do my own internet radio station.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got a few shows. One of our shows happened to go to the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo last year.
Okay.
So we're there, and, we're just hanging out, having a good time. Go to the hotel room that night, and at like 12:30 at night, my phone goes off. Well, I had a home security system, and the home security system, it lets me know if my door is opened or closed after midnight.
Okay.
And it was going off to let me know my door was open. And I'm like, huh. And a lot of times what would happen is...
like, who the hell's going into my house at freaking 12:30 at night?
Right, right.
And I want to ask Nikki, who's also on. Nikki, does anything good happen when someone when the door opens after 12:30 at night?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So continue, Pickett.
All right. So I'm like, okay, well, let's see what's going on here. So I message my wife. I get nothing back from her. I'm like, well, maybe it was just an error. But then I like go to check the history of my door, and then I saw that not only was it opened, but a few moments later it was closed. I'm like, okay, well now, now I know somebody's going in and out of the front door. I don't know why. Well, I got back, and it was a weird turn of events. The whole thing. I get back, and my wife informs me that she wants a divorce.
Out of nowhere?
Completely out of left field. Completely out of left field. You know, we weren't fighting. We weren't arguing. And, like, literally before I left, she was like, oh, I love you so much. I can't wait for you to come back. Literally, in 3 days, we left Thursday night, came back Sunday.
And you were with Joe and the guys that you were doing shows with? Or?
Yeah, well, one of my hosts, Mitch, okay. And some of the people on ours on that show, and there was the Geek Awakens. We have a little show there.
Well, it was Comic-Con's great, yeah. So
much fun.
Yeah. And then you come home from that, and she's there at the house.
So I get there, and she's like, yeah, I wanted to. So I come home, hey, what's going on? And she's like, oh, I just need to talk. I'm like, okay, what's going on? What's up? She's like, well, you know, it's been an interesting weekend. I think we're both adults. I think we can handle this without too much trouble. And I'm like, handle what? The divorce. And I'm like, as if it was already a topic of conversation. She just kind of said it nonchalantly.
So really, that's how she just, out of nowhere, she says, I want to talk about the divorce.
Right.
That's crazy.
That's what I said. I'm thinking to myself, maybe she's just having like a... I don't know, freaking like a tumor or something. I don't know what's going on.
Is she having a nervous breakdown?
Right.
Is she having conversations with me that I don't know about? I mean, you had to question yourself. It's like, did we talk about this and I just wasn't listening? Or oh, that's insane.
Yeah, so, I was like, what the hell are you talking about? And so, like, we went through a couple of days.
How old were your children when she said that she wanted a divorce?
My kids were, well, one was almost one. So we'll say one and three.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
So.
Infants. Infants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this is insane. All right.
So... You know, I spent the next couple of weeks just trying to, like, see if it's going to, like, get phased or something. But over those next couple of weeks, I have to learn a lot. For instance, I did learn that there was somebody at my house that night.
Oh, God.
But it wasn't, like, somebody that she was, like, seeing. It was actually my best friend, Joe.
Oh,
she called Joe and was telling him a bunch of stuff and telling him that, you know, she wasn't happy, she was going to divorce me and all this other stuff. He's like, hold on, we need to talk then, you know, because he was trying to, you know, not make it happen. He got his wife up and they went over there to the house, and that's where they were trying to convince her not to divorce me. They were there for a couple hours.
This is insane.
He said the entire time they were there, she kept getting these phone calls.
Oh my!
From somebody.
Oh,
and she was like, oh, it's just a friend of mine, and he's helping me through this situation, blah, blah, blah.
So, Joe didn't text you to tell you this was coming, though?
Well, he didn't want, because here's what Joe said with it, And I don't blame him. He's been in a situation similar to this before.
Mm-hmm.
Another friend of ours told him that she wanted to divorce her husband, which is a good friend of ours. He told her, him, and then she denied it, and it caused a lot of drama.
Well, maybe, I mean, how do you know? Maybe it was a thing where they were going over and having three ways.
Gosh.
I mean, right? Nikki, you know what I'm talking about, right?
No,
you got some woman on the side that has three ways with you and your spouse. Oh, yeah.
All right, I've got a crying baby now.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Sorry, the three-way question put him over the top.
No, I don't believe that was the case.
Yeah, Joe. I don't think Joe would do that either. Yeah. I mean, I think he'd do it, but
and plus, I do have access to our cell phone records, so I can see that, someone was definitely calling her, and I knew who it was after I looked into it, and it was an old boyfriend of hers.
Oh, no.
And it was kind of annoying how it happened. Right before I left, we had a pretty, open communication relationship about people. So, like, this guy sent her a friend request on Facebook.
Right.
And she's like, all right, so this is a guy that I used to date. And I'm like, yeah, I remember you kind of telling me about him. She's like, I don't know if I should accept the friend request. I'm like, well, hey, look, let's put the whole thing on the back burner. It's like, because it was literally, like, minutes before I was leaving for Chicago.
Right.
And I'm like, well, let's just put this conversation on the back burner until I get back and we'll talk about it. I mean, I don't know how I feel about it. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Well, she didn't wait. She added this guy as a friend, started talking to him, and instantly started rekindling some of these feelings that she apparently had for him.
And he also started, how soon before she hooked up with him?
Well, it's pure speculation, but I'm going to say within a week.
Unbelievable. And you had no idea this was going on.
No, none at all. I got back, and all of a sudden, it had already just all happened.
Did you see any of it? Did you see any of this in her, that she's someone that could do that?
No, just the opposite. She always told me, she's like, well, look, if you ever cheat on me, it's over. I'm like, that's fair.
But she goes ahead.
I guess likewise.
But she goes ahead and cheats.
Right.
That's crazy.
Look, I don't care what anybody says.
You guys should have become swingers because, then at least you'd be on the same page. You'd be on the same page.
Yeah, but then we'd be involved with people like Joe, and I'm out.
No. There's not everyone like Joe. Hey, I don't know. Is Nikki awake? Hey, Nikki?
Yeah.
Okay, there you are. Oh, you sound so tired. Is that everybody who swings, are they all like Joe?
No. None of them are.
There are perfectly nice swingers is what I'm getting at.
Fair enough.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. because Joe and Joe is his swinging is a totally different animal.
Yeah.
All right. So your wife out of nowhere hits you with this.
Right.
This is crazy. And then so, how long? Or go ahead. What happened next?
All right. So I spent the next month or two trying to maybe. Try to talk her back into it. I didn't know. I was desperate at that point.
And
things out.
And then you're angry and all these things.
Right.
And is she still seeing the ex-boyfriend?
What's that?
Was she still seeing the ex-boyfriend? Do you know? I mean, while you're...
For a while there, she was, yes.
Oh, my God.
She was still seeing this guy. She ended up... And I told her, in the process of us, going through, the first couple weeks... I told her, I'm like, look, here's some ground rules. First of all, while we're still working things out, because I was still living at the house. I don't want anybody over here.
Well, you guys were living together, yeah.
Right. Also, I don't want my kids around some random guy.
Right.
It was barely 2 weeks after she told me, less than a week after she told me, actually, this was my one request. And I'm like, because my thought process was, look, maybe she just needs to work some things out of her system and she come back around. And I don't want my kids to ever have to have that in their mind. Obviously, they're young, but I just don't want them involved in anything that could have been not a thing.
Right. But, so you were trying to, but she was hooking up with this guy. I mean, don't or not you. I mean, were you at least having sex with her, or was
no,
that all?
No, there was nothing.
I mean,
it was
cut
in
off.
Her eyes. It was completely over at that point.
Wow.
So
this is crazy.
So yeah, she's completely done by that point. But in my eyes, I was not aware of how far done she was. So
right.
I was still trying to make things work.
And then you tried to be accommodating.
Right.
Well, as long as you don't bring him here, blah, blah. But I mean, at some point you had to be thinking, you had to be thinking, all right, I can't go through this for 18 years until the kid's old enough to, you know.
Right.
There's just no way.
Yeah. So after about a month, mind you, a month from everything happening.
Right.
I had already moved out of the house.
Oh my God!
Because I just couldn't be there. We had several fights about a lot of things. And that was the other thing. We were fighting then. Right? Then we started fighting hardcore. Like we had arguments.
Well, yeah. When one of the spouses,
every couple does.
When one of the spouses cheats, I could see that being a point of contention. I mean, that's just me.
Right.
When someone has sex with someone else. Or is attempting to have sex with someone else, not me, and I'm married to that person, that's a problem.
Yes. So, long story short, about 2 months after that, I said, you know what, I'm just going to back off. I'm not going to do anything.
So you knew it was over?
Yeah. And I was kind of convinced it was over a little bit before that, but I didn't want to tell myself that. I was convinced, but...
But, I mean, you guys were living together, you were happy, you had the kids, you were sexual, you were... I mean, probably in hindsight now, there's some, but I'm saying at the time, there were no clues you had that there was going to be a divorce.
Right.
This is craziness. Until you left to go to Comic-Con.
Right.
And then,
so
you ended up getting divorced so many months after? Or?
Okay, so yeah, so we separated. She moved on. She started dating somebody else, not the guy that she had been cheating on me with. This guy, he was a real tool. He wore makeup and shit. It was weird. I mean, legitimate makeup. Like, you know, not just like, you know. No, he was like one of those, what do they call them? Juggalos.
Wait a minute. She
yeah.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. She left you for a juggalo.
Oh, she first of all, no.
Or she started.
She left me.
She started.
She left me initially.
For what?
For a wannabe rapper.
Oh, my God. Who is this?
Guy had no job.
Oh, who is this woman?
But he was hoping that his rapping career... I'm not even close to kidding. I wish I was making this up. He was hoping that his rapping career would take off.
Did he want to be the next Eminem, or was he a black guy?
No, he was definitely wanting to be the next Eminem.
All right, so he's a white rapper? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
that is the worst guy. And then she breaks up with him... And goes out with a juggalo. Oh, my God in heaven. Oh, pick it.
Now, all that being said,
yeah.
I was over it by then, of course. But we did start the process of divorce, and our divorce was finalized on Valentine's Day.
That's bizarre. Oh, my God. How old was your wife?
She was only a couple years younger than me. I mean, she's
right. So she's young, but she's not 19 young. You know,
right.
Wow, and you didn't see it coming at all. See, I had no idea. Now she was blonde, right?
Yes.
And I'm looking. You're with somebody else now, so that does make sense.
Right.
I'm looking at the photo, and I'm like. Good. All right. So after you got divorced, what? Obviously, you have the kid. You have at least visitation with the kids, right?
I have 50% custody.
Okay. So, all right.
Yeah. So I mean,
What's your relationship? What's your relationship like with her now?
It's weird.
Yeah.
Basically, we communicate about children. She tries to communicate about more stuff, like she wants to be friends, but I'm like, that's not happening.
Yeah, you can't cheat on someone and then be friends.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Which, I'm sorry, it's one of those things, like, look, after you cheat on somebody and break up a 5-year marriage.
Well, yeah.
That pretty well throws friendship out the window.
She seems very immature. Does she have a good job, or what is she?
Well, that was the best part of the whole situation.
All right.
I was the only one who worked. She was a stay-at-home mom.
Oh, my God.
So we break up. Now, my son, he's autistic.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So he receives Social Security for that.
All right.
So for the first 6 months, we separated. I'm like, well, look, just keep that. You use that. Get yourself a job because you're going to need it.
Well, yeah.
And mind you, this is all especially right when we first split up. So I was also trying to be super accommodating and trying to still, be nice and all that. But no, I didn't want her to not have everything she needed to take care of my kids.
Well, yeah.
So I'm like, you keep that, So after several months, I finally told him, hey, look, she started working at Walmart. And I told him, look, this is all good and well, but I have the kids half the time. I'm going to start keeping half of it because Social Security is my name.
Well, yeah.
I'm the payee. I'm like, so I'm going to start keeping half of that. You'll still get half, but I think what's only fair is you have the kids half the time.
Well, yeah, and you're both raising the child.
Right. I have insurance on my son. She has insurance on her daughter. And that's how it's been for a long time. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna take half the Social Security so I can use it to help take care of my son
while
he's with me. And I told him, that's just how it has to be. Well, at that point, she had been living in our house that we owned without paying anything for the house because I had paid the house because this was March. The house had been paid for in February through November.
Jesus, so she's living there?
She was living there at the house.
Oh, my God.
And she was living there for free, and she got the Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking to myself, in the next couple of months, she should have more than enough money with Social Security alone.
To be able to
cover
out.
Her bills.
Yeah.
I think we're, behind on electric or something. But, we're getting, a fairly decent amount for Social Security. So even if we were behind a couple months, one Social Security thing would be enough to catch it up.
Yeah.
But even so, I'm like, over the next couple of months, you should be able to catch it up and have enough money for gas if you need it for whatever.
Yeah, to go to work.
So when I told her that we were separating it, she got really mad. She's like, well, how am I supposed to be able to afford anything? I'm like, I don't know. You have a job now, and you probably figure that out. She eventually agreed.
Well, I think she had to. I mean, it was in your name. You could have kept the whole thing if you wanted.
Well, exactly. The whole thing is just a hot mess.
How bizarre. And so, go ahead. Yeah.
So yeah, we broke up. We were separated for 6 months, and that's when I said, I'm going to think about this whole dating thing again. And, so I started dating around. I met the girl that I'm currently with.
Well, and then the other thing is not only are you dating, but you're dating with children half the time, staying with you. I don't know what you do for a living, but you got, to find the time to work everything out is insane,
Yeah.
Because I know you were doing, you got into some theater, you got into theater, so you're doing that. You got the kids half the time. I don't even know where you're living. she kept the house that you guys are the place that you guys were renting?
Yeah, so we worked that out.
Okay.
I was gonna sell, because I've got a motorcycle. I was gonna sell that. I was gonna sell a few things. We were gonna, because basically the way we were doing is we had the house on a contract for deed.
Oh, okay.
So we had, and we put a pretty substantial amount down on it. But we were close to the end of the contract. And I told him, like, well, look, let's just pay it off, pay off the contract, and then sell the house.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll split the profits.
So you had, you when you guys first got married, you got a house and you'd paid 5 years of rent towards the home itself, and you were about to, you were coming near the end of it. This is when the divorce right. happened. Okay.
So, you know, we, you know, so I was like, yeah, we'll just, let's pay out the house or whatever. Well, she's like, well, look, I kind of want to keep the house. And I'm like, I mean, that's fine, but I don't know how you're going to be able to afford to buy me off.
Yeah, because you still own half the house.
I'm like, you know, that's a pretty substantial amount of money. I don't think you have that. As a matter of fact, I knew she didn't have that. We still had a joint bank account.
Right.
So I'm like, I don't know where this magical money is coming from, but by all means, maybe if you'd like to, that'd be great for me.
Maybe the Juggalo's a millionaire.
Now, at that time, she was still dating the rapper.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I thought maybe his career had taken off.
Yeah, maybe the wannabe rapper had gotten a job. I mean, who knows? Could have happened.
So, yeah, so I told him, like, well, I mean, that's fine. I mean, you know, however you can come up with that money, that's awesome. Because that was, I'm thinking to myself, well, heck, my half the money is more than enough to buy a small house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah, let's get a...
So then she comes out with it. She's like, well, I don't have the money to buy you out. I'm like, so what is your game plan here then? Let's work this out.
Yeah, then you better sell the goddamn house. I mean, you better sell the house and split the money with me. That's how it works.
So I'm like, you know, let's talk this through. So at this point, mind you, she's living at our house, and I'm staying with my parents.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is never fun.
Yeah, and your parents are probably really enjoying this by now. I mean, I'm sure they they like seeing their grandkids. Don't get me wrong, but
oh, sure.
But I mean, they had to be going, okay, why is he living with us when he owns a house?
Right. Well, and there was a little bit of that conversation, but my parents have always been, you know, very welcoming.
Yeah.
And
oh, you got good parents. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I was there. Sorry, I'm making a bottle.
That's all right.
So, yeah, you know, I'm there, and she's there, and I just try to figure out how this is going to work. Well, and she's like, I don't have the money. I'm like, so what's your thought process here that makes you think that this is going to work out then? And she says, well, you know, I was thinking, I figured we just, you know, instead of selling all this stuff, you can keep your motorcycle and keep this, that, and the other, and whatever, and then... then, you know, we could just call it even. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work.
You'd have to have a hell of a lot more than a motorcycle to sell.
Right. So I'm like, you know, I'm like, I mean.
So for the down, did you put like tens of thousands of dollars down and then pay the rent for the rest?
$25,000 put down on the house.
Okay. Yeah. Which means you'd lose that. You'd completely lose that.
Right.
As well as all the months that of contract for deed payments that you made that were probably over what the cost of rent would have been.
Right.
Unbelievable.
And so I'm like, you know, it became a thing where we fought about it for a solid week. Yeah. And it was money, everything. Everything was then about money.
Yeah.
You know, she would complain. Every time we talk about it, she'd start complaining about all the things she bought for me. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
I'm like, let's establish one thing. We were married.
Yeah.
You bought me things because we were married, not because I asked for them, whether I asked for them or not.
And also, you know, let's look at the fact that one of us was banging guys and the other one wasn't. One of us was banging someone on the side and the other person was not. So therefore, and when we throw that into the equation, it becomes pretty cut and dried as to who's going to hit the advantage here.
Right. So,
and who's and of the 25 the of the 25 G's? Was it mostly your money, her money? What, you know what I mean?
It was. You know, it was a little bit of half and half.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good.
So I mean, it wasn't like, you know, I was going to lose out on a ton of money if I did it.
Right.
And she did buy me the motorcycle.
Right.
She had gotten a settlement okay. pretty substantial settlement, which she used to buy a few things, and that's how she paid her portion of the down payment.
Okay.
And then she also bought me the motorcycle and a few other things, because like I said, she wasn't employed.
She should have been employed, or else she could have lived off that settlement for a while. I mean, good Lord.
Right. And then that's where she started complaining about the stuff that she had bought for me, you know?
Right.
Because she got the settlement, she put some money here and there, and started buying stuff. And I'm like, I'm not going to say no to stuff.
Right.
You know, because we were sitting pretty comfortable. So, I mean, I wasn't complaining about anything.
This is the craziest damn story. I had no idea any of this happened to you. None. Good Lord. So, where's it sit now? Does she still own the house? Did she sell it? What came
so
of all?
I gave her my my half the house.
Right.
I kept the motorcycle and a few other things. As a matter of fact, I kind of went through and just kind of took everything I wanted. Because I told him, like, here's the deal. You'll have the house, but I will probably have almost everything in the house.
How crazy.
So, I mean, you know, I got almost all of our TVs, right. You know, our brand new leather sectional. You know, thousands of dollars worth of stuff, because I was trying to help kind of, I figured, you know, if I can't keep the house, I at least want to have enough furniture to cover any house that I move into.
Right.
Which I did. Our bed alone was a $3,000 bed.
But you went ahead and you signed over your half of the house to her so she can have the whole house.
Right.
Okay. Cause I just want to make, I'm making sure you're not liable for tax payments and things like that.
No, nothing at all.
So you got out of that. Okay.
Yeah, so the divorce was finalized 2 days ago. Yes, 2 days ago? 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 2 days ago.
Wow, it took that long. Okay.
Yeah, it was a little lengthy. Some of that was my attorney. He was, like, dragging his feet half the time. Like, we probably could have been done 2 months ago.
Right.
But nonetheless, it works out either way. But she got the house. She is liable for certain debts. I'm liable for certain debts. And then we take care of our kids. There's no child support because we have kids half the time, each of us.
Yeah.
And she gets half of the Social Security.
Yeah.
So.
Is she working? Is she working currently?
She is. She's still working at Walmart.
Okay.
For a while there. And I guess my mom told me, I was talking to my mom the other day, because she still communicates with her, because my mom's a nice person, so she's not about to tell somebody to just go screw themselves. But I guess she was talking to my mom the other day, and they're talking about something, and I guess it turns out that she's no longer seeing the Juggalo.
Oh, what a shame. True love finally broke up. What a sad.
So she was, he was living with her, right?
Oh, my God.
And... you're going to love this. This is the best part.
All right.
So, like, one day I'm there to drop off the kids, and we're talking about money, because, you know, 10% of our conversation is money these days.
Right.
Or probably more. It's probably 20. Anyway. So, you know, we're talking about money for some reason, and she's like, you know, I'm just super behind on some bills right now. I'm like, well, I don't see why. You know, first of all, she had, like, three roommates.
Oh, my God.
By this point. She had three roommates. Three roommates, yet only two extra bedrooms. I could do the math.
Right.
But, you know, she was never very forthcoming about her relationship situation. I always found that out from other people. But that's beside the point. And so I finally, I'm like, you know, you've got these people living at your house. How are you having trouble affording anything? I mean, even if you charge them like $300 a piece, you have more than enough money to cover your stuff.
Yeah, is she just letting them live there for free? What the hell is she doing?
One of them was a female friend of hers that she was have watching the kids.
Okay.
So in lieu of paying rent,
she was a living nanny. She was a living nanny.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
Okay. Okay, I get that.
Right.
One of them paid you know, a couple $100s. He was in a small room. He was a guy.
All right.
The final one was this boyfriend, this juggalo boyfriend of hers. And I'm like, okay, well, what about him? Your boyfriend works. You know, he worked like Buffalo Wild Wings or something. In, like, the kitchen or whatever. I'm like, he works. What is he paying? Well, he pays the internet bill.
What's that, $70 a month?
Right.
Unbelievable.
I'm like, why is that a thing? She's like, well, he's still paying bills at his other house. And I'm like, excuse me? Yeah, his ex-fiance in his house, he still pays those bills. I'm like,
unbelievable.
This is ridiculous. So he doesn't even live there. He pays those bills, so he says. And then you're paying for him to live at your house with my kids.
Yeah. What kind of an influence is he on the children? I mean, good Lord.
Yeah. So, but yeah, they have, of course, since broken up.
They're going to grow up to be children.
And that's whatever.
This is what a mess. Did you have any idea that she would be this big a problem?
No.
Because I didn't meet her. I don't think I met her. But I mean, like, just through Facebook and stuff, when I saw her, she seemed like this little, blonde, nice person.
Yeah. And for, like, our entire relationship, our entire marriage, that's how it was. You know, she was always really nice. She always, you know, said nice things about me on Facebook and... and it was always happy stuff.
Do you think she was?
It wasn't.
Do you think that she was? And I mean, you know, do you think she was banging guys on the side long before you find out, or was this just a sudden thing that happened? And
I think it was a sudden thing that happened. I mean, when we first met, she kind of went through a period of not sure if she wanted to hold through the whole settling down thing,
right?
You know, or what? I mean, she already had a kid.
Okay. Oh, so there's another kid. All right.
And so part of me was kind of like, well, you're past that point.
Right.
You've got a child. It's time for you to start settling down, regardless.
How was that? Because how did you react to the kid that she had? Were you like a good stepdad?
You know, I tried. Okay. That's about all I can say about it. The kid was challenging.
Okay. All right. But I'm just saying, yeah. I don't know what kind of relationship you had with that child. Because I do, where I wonder about stuff like this, like guys who get with women who have another kid that is someone else's, yeah. Okay? And I don't know if that dad's around or not. Who I don't know what's going on, but
you know, he was a decent kid. He was like ADHD or whatever, so he had some challenges there. But he was overall a good kid. The things that got me were when he would do things that were just obviously wrong, and that's any kid.
Right.
Any kid. And so the problem being, when she and I first met, she never punished him for anything.
Oh, so her parenting style was different.
Very much so. I'm a more strict parent.
Right.
But that's because I like things, you know, in order at all times, and for the most part, as best you can be. But at the same time, I understand there should be some leniency in certain situations, but she was just the opposite. She was just give the kid whatever he wants just so I have my sanity.
Right. To be easier, because it's easier.
Right. Oh, it's super easy.
It's
super
easy. Was there something wrong with the kid, or is he just difficult?
Just difficult.
Okay.
As he was getting older, he was getting better.
Okay.
But...
So
it was a strained relationship.
She raised him to be spoiled, and I ask because I know that there are some people who are step parents, and then when they break up, they have no connection any longer with the step kid, and I know it hurts. So that's why I was,
I was definitely hurt in the situation, and because you don't know a kid in that capacity for 6-7 years and not grow an attachment.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's like you get custody of your kids, but
right,
you don't get to see the step kid. And I that's why I bring that up, because I do know people who have gone through that, and it's a pain in the ass, and that sucks. So your kids are now growing.
Yep.
And you've got them so many days or 5 days a week or however, or 4 days a week, however it works out. And you're a single guy living, I don't know where you live, but we know you got some stuff from her. And you're getting divorced and you meet another girl.
Yes.
How does that
happen? So at this point I'm living with my parents still.
Oh,
I have my kids. No, I'm not still there, but at that point, I was still living with my parents.
Yeah.
I was doing theater. I was literally in the middle of two shows. last year, I was, and the worst show to be a part of when you're going through a messy breakup is The Wedding Singer.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah.
So, but I'm going through a divorce during Wedding Singer. I had also already accepted the role on Sweeney Todd.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, I've got these two shows for sure. So that was going to get me through the summer.
Are you doing shows as sort of a way to forget about the marriage?
No, like I said, I had already committed to the shows before the whole marriage went, you know.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I thought that was after the marriage. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. So this is all within the last year, essentially, what we're dealing with.
Right.
Last March is when everything happened. We got officially divorced 2 days ago. So, I mean, just.
Yeah, it was almost a year. Anyways, it takes forever.
Yeah. And so, you know, fast forward now, I meet this girl. I'm at my last day at Sweeney Todd. We're tearing down the set. And I meet the girl that I'm currently dating, and we hit it off really well.
And where'd you meet her?
Now, oddly enough, I've never been one for online dating.
Okay.
But I was trying out a few online dating sites.
Was it Plenty of Fish? Was it Plenty of Fish?
It was not Plenty of Fish.
Oh, okay. Because I tell you, I've had more people in the last 2 months tell me about, I don't know if they think I'm getting divorced or I don't know what, but they start telling me about Plenty of Fish and the success they've had with Plenty of Fish.
That's crazy.
And it's crazy. Yeah. Like Mike, I mean, I could tell you, right. And I know he won't mind cause I know he's listening now and I doubt he'll care, but, TJ, who hosts Mayhem Unleashed, is a friend of mine. He went on Plenty of Fish, and I only think he was on there a short amount of time, and he met his current girlfriend, who seems right. like a pretty good catch. He met her on Plenty of Fish.
Yeah. Well, it's those free sites. And, you know, like Plenty of Fish doesn't charge you to do stuff. And it's the ones like that people seem to work out with. I was – where I met mine was actually on Tinder, oddly enough.
Oh, well, Tinder's a – So wait a minute. You get divorced, and the first thing you do is load Tinder on the phone.
Yeah, no, it wasn't quite that quickly, that's for sure.
All right. So you eventually get Tinder on the phone, and so you're swiping just to hook up. Because, I mean, Tinder is – I mean, it is sort of a hookup app, you know.
It is. But, you know, I've had so much non-success with everything else. I mean, I don't know. I'll try out Tinder. You know, at the very least, you know, get a hookup involved, you know, and
right.
make that happen. So I swipe right on this girl, and you know, about a – what is wrong with you? Here, have a bottle. Okay. Sorry. I swipe right, and I'm, less than an hour later, I get a notification that we're a match. I'm okay. You know, so we start messaging back and forth. And eventually we exchange phone numbers and start texting back and forth. It's just easier. So we're texting and then we start making phone calls and we start talking. We talk for a solid 2 or 3 weeks.
Without even seeing each other.
Right.
You were talking. Right. Okay.
Right. So, you know, a solid 2 weeks prior to like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks before we even met. And so I'm like, you know, We're talking to them. We're going to set up a date, and I'm like, yeah, we should definitely do a date thing. I think that'd be great. She calls me one night. She said, man, I'm supposed to go to work tonight. And she worked overnight at that point. So yeah, I'm supposed to go to work tonight. And they called me and said they didn't need me. So I was like, and she had to work the next night. So she's like, I can't just go home and go to sleep. And I'm like, well, heck, I have nothing going on. I'm a kid star or anything. Why don't I come and hang out with you? And we'll just hang out for the night and just hang out. So we met. She lived in Lincoln. And she worked closer to, like, Bloomington. So I'm like, well, I'll just meet you in Lincoln. We'll just drive around and hang out. You know, at that point, Pokemon Go was a big thing. And she was into Pokemon. So I was like, oh, let's play some Pokemon Go. I don't know. Mind you, I don't play that anymore. It's a terrible game. But
it was cool while it lasted.
It was. It was. It was a fun game. So we met up. We played some Pokemon Go. We hung out. It was a good time. Like, it was kind of like a pre-date meeting, you know. You know, it's really nice to see the person you're going to be. So that way, like, the first time, because, you know, people can take pictures on Facebook and on Tinder, and they look nothing like them.
Right.
So it was really nice to have an opportunity to actually see her before, like, we went out on a date and actually communicate and stuff in person. And so we went on a date, I want to say, like, a few days later, and things seemed to go really well. And, you know, within about a month, we were actually dating, because I wanted to make sure, you know, I wasn't seeing anyone else or talking to anyone else.
Right.
But before I officially made it like a boyfriend-girlfriend situation, I wanted to for sure be like, you know, I wanted to take my time with it, make sure I knew who she was before we started dating.
Right.
Because, let's be honest,
you got an interesting situation.
Right.
You know.
And plus, I seemed to rush like every relationship I've ever been in. So
yes,
if the same thing, if I'm doing the same thing over and over and it's not working, perhaps I should do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, you know, we did that for a little bit, and then we started dating. Been dating officially since like August,
and it's worked out well.
It has.
I'll be damned. And she's cool with the fact that you have the kids and...
Oh, yeah.
Look at you. Boy, what a life, man. I mean, what a life. Good Lord. I mean, have you ever just sat and thought, what the hell? Look at the last 10 years, not even 10 years, the last 6 years have been insane with you.
They have been.
I mean, you go from the first wife to now. That's insanity.
It really is. I almost should write a book about it.
Yeah, I mean, it really is crazy. Wow. I'll tell you, man. I'm just so befuddled by all this. I had no idea this was going on.
Right.
And the new girl likes her kids in it? I mean, she gets along with the kids and...
Oh, yeah.
I'll be damned. Does she have kids of her own?
She does. She actually has three.
But, I mean, are they good kids? And
oh, they're fantastic kids. Her oldest is 13.
Okay.
And she has all girls, first of all, which is a whole new thing for me because in my last marriage... You know, in my marriage, all I dealt with was a boy,
right.
And my son and my daughter. And my daughter is now almost two. So, I mean, I have no experience with girls.
Well, this is something. I mean, your life is so damn interesting. So you've moved out now. You got a new place? You're not with your parents anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got my own condo off Toronto Road.
Oh, see, I want a condo. I'm trying to convince my wife. I'm trying to convince my wife that we need a condo. We don't need another house, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's buying it, but.
You know, ours is pretty nice. The selling points for me were there's an indoor swimming pool and hot tub.
Yeah.
So I'm in.
I don't even care about that. I just want a place I don't have to do yard work.
I get that. It's the only thing I don't like about our condo, about my condo, is that it's the only upper level unit we have in the entire complex.
Okay.
So,
well, that's
our stairs.
I don't want to walk upstairs. No, screw that.
But the rest, I don't know. The rest of the ones here are all single level, and they've got garages. So,
how bizarre!
Well, pretty nice.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah, I might want to look over there. Are those condos nice?
You know, I can't speak for the rest of them. See, they're all owned by individuals, but
yeah.
The person who owns ours really fixed it up nice.
Yeah, I know that. I think I know somebody that lives over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if you know the people I'm talking about, but I know somebody that lives there, and they talk you know, they talk really good about it. They speak well of it. So, I'd like to live over there. I doubt my wife's going to let me, but I would love to live. I mean, I want all of us to live in a condo. But who knows? Maybe one day. I don't know. So you're doing well. You're doing your shows. You got your kids. You've got the new girlfriend. Where's the new girlfriend live?
She lives here in town.
Okay.
She wasn't Lincoln, but she's actually here in town now.
Oh, she's now moved to be closer to you? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so we spend more often than not together.
Oh, boy.
So.
There you go. You're moving fast again.
Well, I mean, not necessarily.
You are something else, Pickett. My gosh. Yeah.
I'm a glutton for punishment at the very least.
Well, women are your, you know.
They are.
You're kryptonite.
Yes, they are.
By the way, questions from the audience. This is from Al. Al, questions from the audience. Ray, does Pickett's new girlfriend enjoy the shock? Does Pickett's new girlfriend enjoy the shocker? Oh, my God.
Oh,
that's Al. Ridiculous question. Could you imagine that was actually a question that interviewers asked? Oh, well, thank you, Johnny. Yeah, as a matter of fact, she does. She loves it. Next question. Oh, God bless it. And you get along with this girl's kids? You get along with this girl's kids okay?
Yeah, they're really good kids.
All right. So, to sum up your life, first wife, divorced, she's gone, she's the afterthought, could care less, couldn't care less what's going on in her life.
Yes.
Second wife, shocked you with claims that she was cheating, whether it be physical or mental, whatever the case may be, you were shocked, you divorced. She dated a juggalo, but you have children, which you have custody of half the time. And
correct.
Now new girlfriend, how long have you been dating her?
Since August.
Oh, that's a little while, isn't it?
6 months, yeah.
That you met on Tinder. She good in the sack?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to confirm nor deny that, but yes.
Yeah.
I guess I will confirm then, yes.
I'm not going to confirm or deny, but hell yes. Yes. So, and now you've hooked up with her, and you're also doing your shows. I don't even know where you're working.
Well, I'm doing a lot of production work on my own.
Okay.
I'm doing the H&R Block thing right now.
Yeah, no, I know you were. I know you worked during tax season. You always did the H&R Block thing, which is smart.
So,
well, good for you.
Keep myself busy.
And so, and you got a condo.
Yes.
The whole thing is bizarre, dude. You were always very interesting. I love catching up with you. What do you do in the mornings?
Well, it depends.
Yeah.
On Mondays and Wednesdays, I take a class over at Lincoln Land.
Yeah.
I'm working on getting an associate's is all, and it's just taking a lot longer.
Right.
Than I'd like it to. I'm taking two classes actually. One's a directive study, so I don't actually meet in a class.
Well, you're not that far away from there though. I mean, that's not a long drive from where you live.
No, it's right down the road.
Yeah, that's not bad. So, what do you do the other days?
And the other days, Tuesdays and Thursdays, I've got my kids, and then every other Friday, I've got my kids, because I get them for the whole weekend. Although, that being said, you know, Tuesdays and Thursday mornings usually don't start for me, because, like, my son goes to school, he's in pre-K over in Chatham.
Right.
So he goes to school, but he gets back at about 10:50, so... half an hour here.
So you you don't have a live-in nanny like your ex-wife does?
No.
How bizarre. Well, I tell you, this has been the most interesting. And are you still doing the internet shows?
Yep. What's 217 Radio, still a thing.
Plug the site. What is it?
217radio.com.
217radio.com. It's got the Pick and Joe show. It's got
the PB and Grizz show, the Geek Awakens, the Sleeper
Grizz.
Hold.
Freaking Grizz.
Yeah, Grizz.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. And those shows are all podcast and broadcast live and blah, blah, blah. Good for you.
Yeah, we actually have a brand new video format broadcasted live on Facebook Live.
Yeah, I have to check you guys out. I haven't, you know what I mean? Because I have so many Facebook friends. I don't get everybody's stuff. So do you guys have a Facebook page or anything for that?
Yeah, 217 Radio's got a Facebook page, and we've got a Facebook page for, like, the Geek Awakens, and the Sleeper Hold has its own thing. But...
Well, I'll get over there and check it out. You know I love internet broadcasting. And you know.
Of course,
I do this show 4 days a week.
Okay.
Between 9 and 10, well, we're running over today, but between 9 and 10 every morning. And, between Monday and Thursday, anyway, not every morning. I love it. I still love internet broadcast. I'm going to do it forever. I also have the MAY thing.
Right.
And next week I'll be filling in for Jim Leach all week long. But I'll still be doing a show here on morningdisaster.net because I love it. I just love doing, internet shows. And we love catching up with you.
Yeah, no, it's a good time.
Fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that you seem happy after all the turmoil.
I am.
And, you know, goddamn, what an interesting story. I mean, just bizarre. Really is bizarre what you've gone through. And especially with the Juggalo. I'm really troubled. By the mother of your children and the Juggalo. That's bothersome. But besides that, it seems like everything's going good. And I'm happy. Are you currently doing a show?
The PB and Grizz show is my new like big show. I do all the shows.
Every show on 217 Radio, you do it. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So
are they all 1 hour a week? Are they all 1 hour a week or what?
Most of them. Well, okay, so PB and Grizz show is a 30-minute show, but it usually goes over.
Right.
And so that's my show. The Geek Awakens is usually an hour show, but the host of that one, he's doing a murder mystery. He's in rehearsal right now, so he's only going 30 minutes right now.
Okay.
And the Sleeper Hold, it's usually an hour as well.
And who does the Sleeper Hold?
The Sleeper Hold is a buddy of mine, and I produce it, but he goes by the name of Priest. That's his, like, wrestling name. He's a wrestler.
So he's a wrestler, okay.
And so he's involved with a few local wrestling federations.
Okay.
And so they'll occasionally have guests and stuff on their show. And,
well, we should have a guest of Ray. You should have Rage on, brother.
Oh, you know about that.
Or, sorry, Gavin.
We literally.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Gavin.
Gavin Alexander.
We literally just had this conversation, me and the host.
You should have Rage on, or Gavin.
He's like, I got this guy. He's bugging me about doing a show. And I still don't know if I want him on the show because he's annoying. I'm like, well, what's his name? He's like, well, it used to be Rage, and then it was Gavin. I'm like, no. No.
No, Rage co-host. He co-hosts Mayhem Unleashed, which is another show. It's at mayhemunleashed.com. And he co-hosts that, and I'm going to say something now that's going to shock a lot of people. He's pretty good. You know, I mean, he's really – and I work with Rage on WQLZ, and he was on Disaster Radio, and you know. But he's actually pretty good on Mayhem Unleashed. And I don't think you can go wrong – If you can get Rage and not Gavin. Gavin's I don't know. I know I'm having a bizarre conversation now, but he's actually not bad. Like, I'd have him, I'd have him on this show. If he said, "Hey Ray, I want to co-host some shows," I'd let him on. Sure, he's gotten that good. So
very well.
Yeah, I'm just saying he's not bad.
Revisit.
Yeah, he's not terrible. And listen, I know that we're going to bring back. I don't know what old show I'm going to bring back or what I'm going to call it, but I am thinking of doing some and probably recording them at night. Well, hello. I think we are going to do one of those old shows, and you should consider coming on because you're a big part of those. And you know, I'm glad to have caught up with you.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you sent me a message. I'm glad we made that happen.
I'll be damned. Well, check out morningdisaster.net, and I will check out 217radio.com. I know all our listeners are into internet radio, so you know. And by the way, we didn't find out if Pickard's girlfriend loves the Shocker Al. I'm sorry. I tried my best. We didn't get the answer to your question. But boy, yeah. Your life is a freaking book, dude. I mean,
yeah, it's a mess.
Good Lord.
I literally conduct the Hot Mess Express.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. But getting updated in your life was fun. And it was a pleasure. A pleasure speaking to you today. I really appreciate it. You know I love you, man. You are a good guy. We've known each other a long time, but I mean, you are a good guy, and man, your life is a book. It really, there's something there that should be written up because that is craziness. Well, listen, good luck. Are you doing any acting now? Is there any shows at the theater?
I'm on a bit of a hold right now. Just life is a little crazy, and trying to figure out childcare is in a real pain.
Right.
So, I'll tell you, once I can find somebody to for sure be with the kids when I can't be here, that'll be a big load off my shoulders, and we can resume my theater career.
Well, I mean, how crazy is the theater in Springfield? And I don't mean crazy bad. I just mean like the amount of people that are dedicated to it. And I mean, I know it with I have you know, I work with Jim Leach.
Right.
And, you know, Jim loves it. He loves the theater. And you know, he's doing productions all the time and everything. It's amazing the amount of dedication people in this area have. And there are, I mean, there's the Muni in the summers. And yep. Then you've got Springfield Theater. You've got, there's several different troops. I don't know what you call it, but there's all these different companies that do different shows, and there's so many places they do it. The Springfield, at the Hoagland, they do it at the Theater Center, they do it at the Legacy. I mean, there's all these different places where productions go on in the city, and people are crazy about it here.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I wish you luck with that as well.
Well, thank you, sir.
All right, buddy. Well, listen, get on with your life. I'll check out your stuff, and I really thank you for being on today. It was a really fun interview. The one and only Pickett, everyone. Updating it on his life. Listen, come on the show again. If you're ever bored in the morning, give me a call.
Okay.
I'll gladly talk to you. And it doesn't have to be an interview. We can, you know, do other things too. But I'm always enthralled when you join me for broadcasting. It always just gives me a I don't know, just makes me laugh. All right, Pickett, good to talk to you, buddy.
All right, you too.
Later, man. There you go, the one and only Pickett joining us on the Morning Disaster today, catching up with him. Wow, that was thrilling to be caught up on Pickett's life. What a story. What a freaking story with the ex-wife and or the ex-wives. Holy crap. I should play some of those old Breaking Curfews this weekend. An early Chubby Ray so you guys can hear, in case you don't remember what Pickett's life was like. Because I was going to play a bunch of old Disaster shows. But maybe I'll play some old Breaking Curfews and Chubby Ray's for you guys to listen to. Because when we were live, we were doing Breaking Curfew, I think, when Pickett got married the first time, when he lived in L.A. And man, I'm telling you, you know, he talked about how that thing just ended in months. That was not a surprise. And you listen to some of the interviews and stuff with Pickett, and it does sort of seem like he's entering into this agreement to marry this girl without much forethought, you know. In other words, I'm not shocked that that wasn't a long marriage. Anyway, maybe I'll play some of that stuff. Listen, I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I know it was a weird week, and Nikki's been sick. And Nikki tried to call in. Is she still on? Did I hang up on her? What? Hold on. Oh, she was still. Oh, hold on. I want her to call in now. Sorry, Nikki. Jesus Christ, I didn't even see her there. Nikki just sent me a text saying, hey, I waited an hour. You just hung up on me. Oh, crap. I didn't even know you were still there. Oh, I am so sorry, Nikki. I thought you fell asleep or something in the middle of the interview.
Why do you sound like that?
Yeah, that's your phone, I think.
No.
Is it Skype?
No, I'm on my phone.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm talking to a robot.
Yeah, quit sounding like that.
It's bizarre. Can you hear me?
Quit it.
Can you hear me, or do I sound like you do?
Quit it.
Call me right back. Can you? All right, good. We'll try again. I don't know what the hell that was. That was very bizarre. You know what? In all the years of doing shows, I've never had Skype do that. Hello?
It wasn't Skype, it's my phone.
Oh, I didn't know what the hell you were saying. Hey, I'm so sorry. I thought you hung up in the middle of that interview. I didn't see your number.
No, I was on mute.
Oh.
I was talking and hacking.
I am so sorry.
And then when you hung up on him, you hung up on me.
Oh, I am so sorry, Nikki. I didn't even know you were there.
Yes.
Well, thank God. How are you?
I'm almost dead. Thank you very much.
You're almost dead.
Yeah.
Hey, can I say I've missed you all week?
Yes, you can say that.
Yeah, I didn't even. I'm telling you. I mean, it was nice to catch up with Sarah Jane. It was nice to catch up with Pickett, but I don't even want to do the shows when you're not on.
Aw. That's very sweet.
And I know you've been going through, you got ill.
Oh, my God.
And it was in your lungs, your chest, and your...
And my head, and my stomach. Yeah, I heard your rendition of what happened to me the other day, and it was not quite like
when
that.
When you were on the toilet, or when you were coughing...
Yes, I was not on the toilet having the big D.
And you had a diarrhea, and you had to get off the toilet.
I was not having diarrhea.
And stick your head in it and throw up.
I was going pee, and I threw up. While I was going pee.
My God. That is terrible.
I projectile vomited.
What did you do it in
all
the sink?
Over my shirt, and I tried to hold it in my hands, and it went all over the floor.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm very sorry.
I would throw away my underwear, my T-shirt. I was crying.
I hate to laugh.
And then when I went to get up again, I was like all covered in it, and I saw it. I projectile vomited in the other direction.
Oh, God. So when you saw it, you got sick again?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a mess.
So it was like all over the bathroom floor.
Do you immediately get in the shower when that happens, or?
Yes, after I cleaned it up.
Oh, my God. You poor thing.
It was in my hair.
Oh.
I've got really long hair.
Oh, my God. Are you sure?
It was horrible.
Are you sure you didn't have the diarrhea?
No, I'm sure I didn't have the diarrhea.
I'm trying to make the sound. I can't. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So you had stomach and chest cold all at the same time, or chest, whatever the hell.
It was the actual influenza.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I thought you got a...
It was the real deal.
Didn't you get a flu shot?
Yes, but it was a different strain.
I mean...
They had the whole... He by the time I went to the doctor, it was too late. He was going to send me down for the test where they stick the thing up your nose real far.
Yeah.
And he said it was too late. He was going to do it, and then he changed his mind because it would have been too late to give me the Tamiflu anyway.
Oh, my God.
So he said it with all my symptoms, he was 100% guaranteed that it was the influenza.
So why test? Why, you know?
Yeah, whatever it is.
Oh, my God.
And he didn't want to put me through the whole testing because it's a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, it sucks when they're sticking the thing in your nose.
Yeah. And so then he was listening to my lungs, and he's like, and you have bronchitis on top of it.
Oh, my God.
So he's trying to keep it from getting in my lower lungs because it's in my upper chest.
Well, you don't want lower. Lower leads to pneumonia. You don't want that.
No, that's what he's trying to do. So I got a Solmedrol shot in the butt, and I'm on doxycycline.
Good Lord.
Mm-hmm. And I've lost 6 pounds in a week and 3 days.
Well, that's not bad, right?
No.
Hey,
I can't eat anything. Hey, I'm not hungry.
Hey, I've got my...
Rice Krispies diet.
So you're just eating Rice Krispies.
Yes.
Hey, I'm doing my meeting next week for my surgery.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know when we're going to schedule and all. I don't know how, you know.
Yeah.
But I got my meeting next week.
I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, not bad.
I'm going to live vicariously through you.
Okay. I hope it goes well. You know, yeah. I've been this new eating pattern. I've dropped a lot of weight. I've dropped a lot.
Yeah.
You know, nobody can tell. You can't even tell, but I've dropped a lot of
weight. You know, though,
I can tell. You know what? You know how I know? I'm in the shower, right? And when I'm in the shower, the first thing I clean is my balls. You know.
Yeah.
And what I do is I take my leg. My shower has like a seat in it. Well, it's not a seat, but it looks like it could be a seat, you know?
Right.
But I put my leg up on it, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then I reach my hand between my legs, and I, you know, clean my goodies, you know?
Right.
And so, and I have my, like I said, I have my hand on there. And usually I'm so fat, okay, that I get to washing the balls, and I get to, like, the bottom of the nutsack, you know? The way that, you know, the way the body's shaped, you know,
but now
I can, wash all the way back to my ass.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, you know what, and I'm saying, when you are able to, from the front, get down there and wash your ass, you know, you've lost a lot of weight.
Right.
So that's how I know. Is that crazy?
I always measure mine from how much of my hip bone I can feel.
Yeah. I'll tell you,
how much my fat, when I'm on my side, how much my fat sags.
I'll tell you, I think my, I mean, this is just between us, but I think my dick is growing. I think I'm growing too. So I'm losing
weight. You could be.
My wife seems very happy lately.
There you go.
She's spending a lot of time playing with it. I mean, there's a lot going on, and I think it's from losing
weight. That's a good thing.
I think it's from losing weight.
That's
really
a good thing.
I really do. Something going on. You know, I don't know. Maybe she's just getting excited about the 25 years or something, but it just seems like, yeah, it's pretty good. But I did have a cookie on Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, one cookie's not going to kill me.
No, that's fine.
And so it was nice. Yeah, so that's how I know.
I felt bad last night because I didn't eat all day.
Yeah.
So I had some popcorn, a big bowl of it.
Right.
And I felt really bad and guilty, and then I added up the calories. It was 400 calories.
Real for popcorn?
Yeah.
And there's not a ton of carbohydrates in there, is there?
There was a little bit of cheese in there.
Oh, wow. Cheese popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. I think, I'll be honest, I think even movie
popcorn. For a whole day.
That's not bad. No, that's not bad.
That wasn't bad.
I don't think popcorn's bad. I really don't.
It's a grain.
Yeah, and I think, like,
isn't it?
I think, like, a movie popcorn, even movie popcorn.
Yeah, with all the butter and stuff on it.
I don't think it's that bad. If you replace a meal.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not suggesting this, but if you replace a meal with movie popcorn.
Not have it as a snack. If it's a meal replacement.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to kill you. I really don't.
No.
Hmm.
But I did. I ate it and I felt awful and guilty. Because I've just been eating one bowl of cereal.
I'll tell you, I had flu-like symptoms once, and I ate popcorn because it made me feel better, you know, because I was sick, and I was like, oh, I just want something. Baby.
Oh, my stomach was not happy.
The only thing is, your stomach, when you get the diarrheas, and you...
I didn't have the diarrheas.
If you get the diarrheas after you eat popcorn... All right.
Is it gonna hurt?
No, it's like a weapon, and it shoots out like a Gatling gun. It's like, yeah, it's crazy. I'm not joking. It's when you're going to the bathroom. It's like you're a Nazi firing a Gatling gun from your Nazi ass.
My stomach hurt for a long time after I ate that.
It's crazy what goes on. But
I figured it was a mild food. Oh. You know, it's popcorn.
Yeah.
So my stomach didn't agree with it. Oh. And then I think part of it was mostly me feeling guilty.
Did you throw up or get the diarrheas?
Neither one.
Oh. You
gotta
watch
that. Upset stomach.
I've had that stuff before where it's like water shooting out your ass.
Yeah.
And I haven't had that, thank God. I mean, I get loose stools because when you're dieting.
You know what I think of when I have that?
What?
I'm thinking, I am losing some weight now.
No, is that true?
I don't know, but that's what I think.
I tell you, in this diet, it means
I'm cleaned out.
In the diet I'm on, I'll feel the urge to go to the bathroom, like, oh, goddamn, and I'll go. And when I go, it's like water. It's crazy. Uh-huh. And I'll shoot up, and I'll be like, okay, there's no way I can have any more water in my...
Right.
It's insane how much water or how much liquid.
Yeah, we got to watch out because you'll get dehydrated.
I'm pretty good. I mean, I drink water constantly.
Yeah.
Like the entire day. And I'm not joking. I have a coffee in front of me now, which I ran out of a long time ago. But when I get done, I'll get a glass of ice water, a huge glass.
Yeah.
And I will average about one glass every 2 hours.
That's good.
I drink water nonstop. And by the way, I don't drink soda.
About drinking water while I was sick.
I don't drink soda.
Yeah.
Ever.
I did get a soda yesterday, but I haven't had one in 2 weeks.
I just don't drink it. By the way, I do have a message. It says, Nikki had the runs that sounded like a thunderstorm on a farm pond. Have you had those kind of runs?
Like hail? Yeah.
Like the hail runs. Oh, those are the worst. Oh, my God. Oh, good Lord. Yeah, so, I mean, I drink water constantly.
Yeah.
I don't see any way. I see no way that I'm dehydrated.
Well, none. That's good.
And I take
I get dehydrated easily.
And I take my metformin whenever I eat, and you know, I think I'm doing good.
Well, I'm back on that diet medicine too, so I don't know if I lost that 5 pounds from that week and 3 days from being sick, or if I lost it because I'm back on that diet medicine.
No, I think it's from being sick. I mean, I'm sure it's a combination, but being sick, it's because you're not eating. So I mean, I guess it's
and
your
I'm
diet.
Not hungry.
Yeah, because you're sick. So
or because medicine's working.
Well, when you're sick, your body wants to fight the illness, and one of the ways it fights the illness is you won't. You're not supposed to lose weight when sick because your body tries to hold on to it, but you will lose. The real reason you're losing is you're not eating because you're sick.
Yeah. But I would have a little bowl. It wasn't like a big bowl. A little bowl of Rice Krispies in the morning and a little bowl of Rice Krispies at night.
And that's,
like my medicine.
And that's all you could eat?
That's all I could eat.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could eat cereal.
And that was pushing it.
I wish I had some cereal that I could eat.
In the morning when I threw up the night before, my friend had force-fed me.
Oh, God.
Because he was worried that I was, because I was just eating Rice Krispies.
Right.
So he made a pork tenderloin roast.
Oh, my, no, let her just eat at Rice Krispies.
And potatoes and carrots.
Oh, this just sounds like
and
a bad
he
idea.
Like made this huge plate full, and I ate it, and the next morning's when I threw up.
Right, yeah.
Why?
Sounds like a bad idea. In your underwear.
Yeah. Hair on the floor.
You're sitting there on the toilet with your legs spread, your underwear around your ankles.
Yeah.
You have stomach convulsions, and you throw up into your underwear.
In both hands, I'm trying to hold it.
Oh! By the way, Al...
No place to put it.
Al has suggested...
Oh, God, Al.
Ray, Nikki should have put them underwear up on eBay. She'd have gotten big money for them.
Oh, gross.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you could have gotten big money.
Ugh.
There's perverts out there that would like that.
That is disgusting. And all I had in there was like a roll of toilet paper to try and clean it up with.
Oh, my God.
I didn't want to run through the house to get paper towels.
Oh, my God.
It was horrible.
Nikki.
I know. It was horrible. And my doctor's like, have you been anywhere where you could have caught this? And I told him where I'd been.
You know it's bad. You know it's bad when you get a sickness. And the doctor says, have you been to Asia recently?
I'm like, I went to DHS.
Oh,
and I was sick within 6 hours.
Well, you know, that's what you were around all those poor people. We talked about this.
I'm a poor person.
We talked about this last week. You got around all those poor people and you caught the poor illness.
And I told him about the person sitting next to me coughing up phlegm and... He kind of rolled his eyes at me like I was crazy, but he knows I already am, so.
Well, you know they're coughing up stuff. I mean, Jesus.
I know he was because he wiped it on his pants.
Unbelievable.
I was like about ready to throw up then.
How insane.
I'm an old guy. That's why I had my shirt up over my nose. And you can't, like, go stand in the corner away from them because security makes you go sit down.
Wait, well, if there was a way, if someone could go to you and say, hey, listen, we have a surefire way to lose weight. And it's here's the thing. You're going to drink this concoction we made.
Oh, God.
And for one week straight, you're going to have painful diarrhea. And vomiting. But when it's all said and done, we're pretty sure you're going to drop 45 pounds. Would you do it?
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, I'd do it. I'd say,
not me.
I'd say, really? They say, yeah, you'll lose like 45. You'll lose like 50 pounds. I go, fuck yeah, yeah. No, I'll do it.
It's not worth it.
Give me that shit. I'll drink it right now.
No, God, no.
Yeah, I don't mind a little diarrhea.
Go drink some castor oil then.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not going to do it if it doesn't benefit me, but if there's a way I could drink it or I could go through it and lose weight, I'd do it. I'd go through the pain for 1 week.
Not after, but just going through that, no.
Yeah, I get my meeting next week, so I'm gonna get on this. I don't know how much I lost, but I'll have to get on the scale next week. I know what I used to weigh.
Yeah.
Which was massive, by the way. One of these days when I've lost it all, I'll reveal how much I weighed.
I think I weigh more than what people think I weigh.
Yeah, I'm gigantic. I'm so fat. You know, I'm so massive.
But it's going in the right direction now, so yeah. That made me happy.
Well, I've said before I'm over 400 pounds. I mean, you know, I don't
yeah.
hide it, but I don't think that people know how big.
Yeah.
How big I am. Or I think I'm still big, but I also... Yeah, I also, I could tell I've lost.
Yeah.
You know, because I could, you know, could reach my ass, as I said. But, I mean, I don't want to brag about my ass reaching, but I can get all up in there because I've lost enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty good sign. But yet I still feel fat as hell, and I have a big fat gut and.
Yeah.
And I know, some people are going to look at me and go, you look exactly the same. What do you mean? But I'm telling you, I've lost a bunch of weight.
You can feel it.
Yeah, I can tell. Even though other people can't, yeah. I know that I can.
Right.
So fuck all y'all.
That's right.
I'm so glad you're back. This week I've had... Pickett was great today. I haven't talked to Pickett in forever. It was great to talk to him. Yesterday... Sarah freaking Jane.
What's new with her?
She revealed things. I mean, she shocked me. Nikki, I don't know how she does it. Every time she's on the show, she just shocks me.
Yeah.
She told a story. She dated Jim the photographer.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, I worked with Jim every day. I had no idea. I knew that. I thought they were friends from what Jimmy told me.
Yeah.
But I didn't know they actually dated. And I'm serious. If you didn't hear yesterday's show, all right, I'm going to tell you a little bit what you missed. If you didn't listen to Wednesday's Morning Disaster. You missed Sarah Jane admitting she dated Jim in 2007.
Ugh.
And that they never had intercourse, you know. Jim,
uh-huh.
Jim refused to have intercourse with her. You know, I think it was probably because of the herpes, I'm sure. But, but he let her blow, he would... have her blow him all the time, right?
Yeah.
And then he started invite friends over and have her blow the friends too.
Nice.
And then she started having an affair with one of his friends. And then there was a married guy and I don't know what he did something I forgot what she said. He was on call or something. So he'd have to go out in the middle of the night and she would join when he was out in the middle of the night, she'd go meet him somewhere and she'd get inside the vehicle and blow him.
Oh my God.
I was just shocked. and I try not to react shocked when she said, I was just shocked at these allegations.
Yeah.
Of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you haven't heard it, you get a chance, go back and listen to Wednesday's show to be shocked by Sarah Jane, who she just never ceases. She never runs out. She never runs out of stories.
Yeah.
Out of stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So the gym stories were insane. But I believed them because I knew Jimmy.
Yeah.
And they sounded 100% like the stuff he would do.
Right.
I really do miss him. But man, he had what a seedy lifestyle he led.
Yeah.
It's just so disturbing. Hey, you got to blow my friend, and I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
And I'm going to watch. Oh,
true love right there.
Yeah, you know if he was alive, he'd be hanging out in those swinger groups with you.
He'd be trying to.
Yeah, of course, yeah. He was a nice guy, though. They might, who knows, the women might get to like him and say, ah, what the hell? Come on, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Jump on in and get you some. Mm-mm. Oh, my God. Well, listen, I hope you get better over the weekend and we can do shows next week.
Yeah, yesterday's my first day up and around for a little while.
I'm very glad. You do sound a lot better. I mean, when I talked to you earlier this week, you sounded terrible.
Yeah, that first day I was sick.
Yeah, and I know that we've spoken online, so I'm glad that you are able to come back. And next week we should have good shows. Next week I'm also doing WMAY. Doing afternoons all next week. Well, not Monday. I don't think I'm doing Monday. I'm doing Tuesday through
Friday.
The following week. Well, yeah, I've also got to do some the following week too. But
okay.
But I'll be doing more. You know, mornings I'll be here with you.
Cool.
Hopefully you'll be past it. So glad. I'm glad you're back. I hope people enjoyed your. Oh my God! It's 11. I just looked at the time. So we did we did an hour with Pickett, and then I did my regular show with Nikki. So it's like we did a regular show. So anyway, there you go. Is morning disaster, Nikki? I'll talk to you Monday.
Okay.
Have a good week. What should I play? What should I play this weekend? Should I do? Should I do classic, Breaking Curfew and Chubby Ray, or should I do old morning disaster shows? Or should we do a combination of best of bits again like I did last week? What do you think?
New old morning disaster.
Old morning disaster shows. These will be, all right, so it'll be complete shows from the morning disaster and that will just contain God knows what. I mean.
Exactly.
They'll just be, and what I'll do is I'm just going to load a ton of them in. I'll just load a bunch of them and you guys enjoy. They're in no particular order. I'll play old morning disaster shows all weekend.
There you go.
Until we get back Monday. So we'll be back Monday at 9 a.m. Until then, Nikki, have a great weekend, hon.
Yeah.
Listeners, you have a great weekend, too. And I will talk to you Monday. So long, everybody.